Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narches Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. American Kleptocracy by Casey Michel is a work of investigative nonfiction that examines how the United States became a major hub for global illicit finance and money laundering. Rather than treating corruption as a problem confined to unstable or authoritarian states abroad, the book argues that American legal, financial, and real estate systems have helped conceal and legitimize dirty money from around the world. Michel focuses on the structures that make this possible, including anonymous shell companies, permissive state laws, professional enablers, and weak transparency rules. He also shows how illicit wealth can seep into institutions that shape public life, such as universities, think tanks, and cultural organizations. The book combines reporting, policy analysis, and institutional critique to explain not only how the system works, but why it is so difficult to reform. Its purpose is both explanatory and corrective to reveal the scale of American complicity in global kleptocracy and to outline the need for stronger anti-corruption action. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Delaware, Nevada, and shell company law turned the U.S. into an offshore haven. A central argument of the book is that the United States did not become a money laundering center by accident. Michel traces how states such as Delaware and Nevada made it easy to form anonymous shell companies, creating legal structures that obscure ownership and weaken accountability. These entities are valuable not because they are illegal in themselves, but because they can separate assets from their true controllers. That makes them ideal for hiding wealth, moving funds quietly, and shielding politically exposed individuals from scrutiny. Michel shows that the American system became attractive precisely because it offered the outward appearance of legitimacy. This is one reason the book is powerful. It reframes secrecy as a policy choice built into ordinary state-level business law, not merely as a foreign criminal tactic imported from elsewhere. Secondly, post-9/11 reforms and the unintended expansion of illicit finance. Michel pays close attention to the post-9/11 era because it demonstrates how policy aimed at security can still leave major loopholes in financial transparency. In the book's account, reforms intended to strengthen oversight and protect the financial system did not eliminate secrecy at the ownership level. Instead, the U.S. remained open to opaque capital flows, and in some respects became even more central to the movement of suspicious wealth. This matters because it shows that anti-terror or anti-crime measures can fail if they focus on certain channels while ignoring the broader architecture of concealment. The book uses this history to argue that meaningful reform requires looking beyond banks alone and toward the full ecosystem of incorporation rules, property ownership, and professional services that make laundering possible. Thirdly, the role of professional enablers in laundering dirty money legally. Another major theme is that kleptocracy depends on experts who make illicit wealth usable inside ordinary markets. Michel describes how lawyers, lobbyists, real estate agents, auction houses, and other intermediaries help transform suspicious funds into assets that appear clean and respectable. The point is not simply that these actors break laws, but that many operate within legal gray zones or exploit weak enforcement. That distinction is important because it explains why money laundering is so hard to stop. It is embedded in normal commerce and often looks like legitimate service provision. Michel's analysis suggests that corruption in the U.S. is not sustained only by criminals at the top, but by a supportive professional infrastructure that knows how to hide ownership, structure deals, and lower scrutiny. This gives the book a practical edge. It identifies the system of facilitation, not just the people who benefit from it. Fourthly, how dirty money distorts democracy, capitalism, and public institutions. Michel goes beyond finance to show how illicit wealth can alter civic life. The book argues that dirty money does not remain confined to bank accounts or luxury assets. It can influence universities, think tanks, cultural institutions, and even local economies. Once wealth is hidden or laundered, it can buy prestige, shape research agendas, and secure access to social legitimacy. That broader effect is what links money laundering to democracy itself. If corrupt capital can circulate freely, it undermines fair markets, distorts political influence, and weakens trust in institutions that are supposed to serve the public. Michel's framing is important because it treats kleptocracy as a structural threat rather than a niche financial crime. The damage is not only moral, it is institutional, economic, and political, affecting the credibility of systems that depend on transparency and equal rules. Lastly, a reform agenda centered on transparency, enforcement, and anti-corruption leadership. The book is not only diagnostic. Michel also advances a pragmatic case for reform, arguing that the United States can no longer claim leadership against corruption while offering safe harbor to illicit wealth. His policy outlook emphasizes greater transparency around company ownership, stronger enforcement, and a willingness to close legal loopholes that make concealment easy. The reform dimension matters because it keeps the book from becoming a purely moral condemnation. Michel presents the U.S. as a country that still has the capacity to change, but only if lawmakers and regulators treat financial secrecy as a major public problem. This gives readers a concrete takeaway: the fight against kleptocracy is not just about punishing individual bad actors, but about redesigning the rules that allow dirty money to enter and stay in the system. In conclusion, American Kleptocracy is best suited for readers who want a serious, policy-minded account of financial secrecy, corruption, and the hidden infrastructure of global money laundering. It will be especially useful to policymakers, journalists, legal professionals, students of international relations, and general readers trying to understand why corruption is not confined to failed states or distant oligarchs. The book's main benefit is clarity. It explains how ordinary American legal and financial mechanisms can be used to clean illicit wealth and why that matters for democracy, markets, and public trust. Compared with many books on corruption, it stands out for shifting attention away from sensational crime stories and toward the institutional architecture that makes those crimes possible. Michelle combines reporting with structural analysis, giving the reader both a broad picture and a practical sense of where reform must begin. Its value lies in showing that the U.S. is not just a critic of kleptocracy abroad, but a participant in the system that sustains it. If you would like to support Casey Michelle, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.